Today's shiur is dedicated for Schus for Refuah Shleima for Shalom Ben Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Pei Dalet, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, the first words, Eis Vei Rava. Our Mishnah had spoken about a case where a woman made a neder that she's not going to have hanah from Bries. She's not going to have hanah from people. And the question that we had learned in our Mishnah was, is a husband b'chlal Brius? Is the husband included in the category of Brius, or is the husband not included in the category of Brius? And as we had discussed in the previous year, when we had this, the question was that if the husband is considered b'chlal Brius, that the husband is considered part of other people, then we had a question, why should she be not included in Brius and that she's allowed to benefit from the husband? Why did the Mishnah say that she should collect Lecha Shechopeya? She shouldn't be allowed to collect Lecha Shechopeya because she could get supported by the husband. And the Gemara gave three ways of learning the Mishnah. Eisrei Rava. So Rava asks, according to the teretz, the last teretz that was cited in the Gemara, that according to Rav Nachman, Baal is not in klal brios. And even if she made such a nether, she is allowed to be supported from her husband. Eisvei Rav L'Rav Nachman, how could you say, la b'chlal brios hu, that the husband is not included when she said brios? Ask the Gemara, we're going to learn in the Mishnah, Mitzvah Shem, on Daf Tzadik Amabez, where a woman said, netulani min ehudim. The woman said that she can't have relations with any Jew. The halacha is that this is clearly a neder of beinoy lebeinoy, and since it's a neder of beinoy lebeinoy, the husband could be mefer, he could be nullified out part of the neder, and then they could have relations. Asked v'tei netulim nehudim, but she remains usher to all other people. And as we explained at the end of our previous shiur, that even though a neder of inui nefesh, if the husband is made for a neder of inui nefesh, that neder becomes completely nullified. And whatever should happen afterwards, the halacha will be that neder is completely nullified. Whereas a neder of beinoy lebeinah, if you're going to say a neder beinoy lebeinah, is only relevant to the husband and the wife. As far as everyone else is concerned, the halacha is that the neder is still irrelevant. And therefore, she, even if she were to get divorced from this husband and get remarried, that neder, that pre-existing neder of Tehei Netulim and Yehudim, is very much still there. Of course, the question is, if we're saying that the neder, when she said Tehei Netulim and Yehudim, includes the husband, how could a woman make such a neder? Every woman is mishubedes, she's obligated to have relations with her husband. So there's a number of answers. One answer is that since the neder is valid to all other people, so it also becomes valid to him, even though for him she has a shibud. Another way of explaining it, we've learned in a previous shiur, depends how the neder was worded. If the neder is worded that the husband can't have relations with her, so that neder indeed is invalid. The reason the neder is invalid, because she is obligated to have relations with her husband. But if the way the neder was worded was that she shouldn't have the benefit, there's no obligation that she should have benefit, and therefore she has a right to say that I won't have benefit, and memela, we have a problem. But now, gets the Gemara to its question, E Amrit, if, as we learned, Ba'ala b'chlal Brius, that the husband is not included in the Brius, and therefore the husband, so now let's understand this nether. She clearly doesn't mean all other men, because she's anyway also to marry and to have relations with any other man. She's a sinish. It must be what she said, Netulani min Yehudim, means that she's not going to have any financial benefit from people. If that's what she said, then that falls into the category of Nidrei Inui Nefesh. If she is making such a bold statement that she won't have Hanor from any Jew, and we're now saying that it means not as far as relations are concerned, because that would be a meaningless statement. She can't have relations with them anyway. So all she means is that she can't have financial benefit. So that's Nidrei Inui Nefesh. Why can't the husband be Mefiden? Eimelach, says the Gemara, here, Shani Hocha, the Mucha Melsada Terekam Renafsha. So the Gemara answers as follows. We could indeed suggest that Baal is La B'char Briyos, but we have to look at the context of the Neder. Since she said Netulanim and Yehudim, and the simple pshat in Netulim and Yehudim refers to Tashmish. Since it refers to Tashmish, so Tashmish could not possibly be, as we just finished explaining, that she's speaking about all other men. Because all other men, she can't have Tashmish with anyway, because all those other men, she's an Eishes Ish. So when she said Netulanim and Yehudim, she obviously meant the husband. So what the Gemara is saying is that these concepts that we're discussing, really an important part of the discussion of these contexts, of these concepts, are also the context in which they are said. If they're said, if sometimes, even if we'll say that the husband is not part of the Yehudim, even if we'll say that the husband is not part of Briois, that's only in a case where we could help the nether could still be understood. But in a case where the nether cannot be understood, there clearly the halach will be that the nether, that the Briois or Yehudim certainly include the husband. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah that if a woman made a nether that she won't have benefit from people, Yechayel Lahenes, we learned, Belecha Shechapeya. Since the Torah uses the words La'oni Lager Tazav Aysam, the Torah doesn't speak about Nesina, so it's not something, as we explained at the end of our previous year, it's not something that is considered that belongs to anybody, that if I'm not allowed to benefit from those people, the halacha will be that I can't have the Lech Shechapeya. Because they're not giving me the Lech Shechapeya. And since they are not the ones who are giving me the Lech Shechapeya, it's not considered a problem. Before we get into this Gemara, we have to discuss that there's a concept, halacha of demai. The word demai is really a combination of two words, demai. What is this? When somebody buys produce from an Amoritz, we have to be concerned that the Amoratzim did not take off Maisris properly. And since they didn't take it off properly, or maybe they didn't take him off at all, then the halacha is that we can't eat that produce. It's tevel, as we're going to be discussing quite extensively. And therefore, Chazal said, demai, that we have to take off our own produce. The Gemara often says that we're not concerned that the Amoraites did not take off Truma. Truma is midaraisa. The halacha is chita achas pateres hasakri. Even one kernel is satisfactory. So, and the rule around Truma, about eating Truma or eating tevel from which Truma wasn't removed, is very serious. So even though we're concerned about the reliability of the Amoratzim, we're not concerned as far as Truma concerned. We can be confident that they took off Truma. We are concerned about Maiserishin, which every year you have to take off 10% and give it to the Levi. And the Levi has to take off 10% of the Maiserishin and give it to the Kohen, which is called Trumas Maiser. In the first and the second, in the fourth and the fifth years of the cycle, we give Maiser Sheni, which we have to take the actual Maiser or the value up to Yerushalayim and eat it, and spend it on food or eat it in Yerushalayim. For all of them, we have to be concerned about the Mai. But the halacha is that even when we're taking off Maiser Rishon, we don't have to actually give it to the Levi, because when the Levi comes to say, well, you took off 10% from my Sarishin, I could say, Hamotzi Mechavera Olav Araya, prove that I'm obligated to do so. The question is, in the third and the sixth year of the cycle, we don't do Maisa Sheni, we do Maisa Ani. The question that we're going to discuss is, does the halacha of Maisa Ani apply regarding Maisa Ani? Does the halacha of the Mai apply to Maisa Ani as well? So makes the Gemara its point. Our Mishnah, when it said that when this woman made this neder, she could still entitled to take Lekut Shikha Peya, the Loiktani, but our Mishnah didn't say that she's also entitled to take Maisur Oni. Ask the Gemara, however, Vatani Bebraisa, have we not learned the Braisa that she's also entitled to take Maisur Oni? So how do we reconcile the Mishnah, which seems to say that she's not entitled to Maisur Oni, and the Braisa that says she is entitled to Maisur Oni? Amar Yeshua Loikasha, Ha Rebbe Lezer. The Braisa represents the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, for her Rabbanan, and our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbanan. The Tanan. Now we go back to the question that we just discussed about the Mai and Maisa Ani. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta, the Mai, Perek Delah, Mishnah Gimel, teaches us, Rebbe Lezer Omer, that even though Chazal were concerned about the Mai, Ein Adam Tzorach Likrois Maisa Ani Shal Demai. So in other words, again, the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara, even if I were to take off the Mai Maisa Ani, I wouldn't have to give it to the Ani physically, because again, I could say, Hamotzi Mechavera Olav Araya, prove to me that Maisa Ani wasn't given. And if I can't prove that Maisa Ani wasn't given, then the Aloch is, you don't get to collect it. The question is, do we have to at least go through the procedure of designating the Maisa Ani, because we have to be concerned that the Samaritans didn't take off Maisa Ani. So Rebbe Lezer's opinion is, Ein Adam Tzorach Likros Sheva Maisa Ani Shel Demai. We don't have to be concerned about that. The Chamim disagree, and the Chamim Karm Shem, we do have to go through the procedure of designating, identifying what will be the Maisa Ani. However, Vein Tzorach Lahafrish, we don't have to actually give the Maisa Ani, because the Chachamim are indeed concerned, that the Anim did not take off Maisa Ani, and therefore, if you don't take off Maisa Ani, the produce is Tevel, which we know is a very serious Isser for one to eat Tevel, but you don't have to give it to them because of what we just said, HaMaisa Mechaveroi Olav Haraya. The Rishayim debate, the halacha is, if somebody eats tevel, he's chayim misa b'dei shemayim. The question is, now we're saying that according to the chamim, if maisur oni was not removed from the produce, it's considered tevel. The question is it considered like regular tevel, that if we want to eat that tevel, if one ate from produce from which maisa was not removed, Yichai Misa B'dei Shemayim, like eating any tevel, or is it tevel and it involves an Issa D'Raisa, but they don't have to actually, but there's no, it's Issa D'Raisa, but it doesn't, it's not going to be Achiv Misa. So says the Gemara, what is the background of this Machloikus? My love, isn't the Machloikus, aren't we to explain this Machloikus between Rebbe Lezer Chachamim? L'manda Mesfeke Tevel, the Manda Omer that takes a serious position is on the that we have to be concerned that Maisur Ani wasn't removed. Sover Islay Toivus Anor is of the opinion, there's a concept of Toivus Anor, that the halach is a Kohen is not allowed to pay someone that you should give him your truma. But there is a concept of Toivus Anor. Toivus Anor means that the Kohen could, that somebody could approach a person who has much truma, much meiser, and say, I have a grandson, I have a son-in-law who's a Kohen, please give your truma and meiser to him. And that's called Toivus Anor, and according, and the concept of Toivus Anor says that you could even get paid for that Tovus Hanah. The question is, when we speak about Maaser Ani, could someone pay you to give your Maaser Ani to a specific Ani? The man da Amar that says that if Maaser Ani wasn't removed, that produce is still considered Tevel, Kesover is of the opinion that Islay Tovus Hanah, that by Maaser Ani, you also have Tovus Hanah, which really means that you have a right to choose which Ani to give your Maaser Ani to. And therefore, Kivan the Islay Tovus Hanah, since there's a Tovus Hanah by choosing and getting paid even for choosing which Ani, so an Isha that made a nether that she won't have Hanah from certain people, Lamahanya, then she can't get Maaser Ani from that person because what she's getting has a value. Well, the man d'ama ain't kari shame, and the man d'ama that says that we don't have to be worried about Maaser Ani, k'sava sveika ena tovel, that when there's a suffix, it's not tevel, and he says that the halacha of tovus hanah, and we'll explain this in a moment, that the halacha of tovus hanah and tevel travel together. The kol she'ena sofeika, in a case where we don't know, it's not tevel, Maaser Ani not being removed doesn't make tevel, there's also no tovus hanah. You can't choose which Ani to give to. So since you can't choose which Ani to give to, and certainly you can't get paid to choose a certain Ani, therefore, when she made that nether, she's allowed to have a Noah from Maaser Ani. So the Gemara is suggesting the question, if this woman made the nether, if she could get, if she could take Maaser Ani or not, the Machloikis of our Mishnah and Abraisa is really connected to the Machloikis of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan. So the Ran explains that any matana that the Torah says if it wasn't removed is considered tevel is all included in the pasuk v'lo yichalu as kotshe b'nei Yisrael ashirim el Hashem. That pasuk speaks about tevel because what does the pasuk say? Says the Ran, es asher yirimu, produce from which truma and maaser will be removed, but it has not yet been removed. So if we say that Maaser Ani makes Tevel, it's included in that Pasuk. And that Maaser Ani is included in that Pasuk. And Maaser Ani is included in all the halachas of Trumas and Maaseris. And if by other Trumas and Maaseris, there's a concept of Tovus Hanah, here too there's a concept of Tovus Hanah. According to Rabbi Elazar, if Maaser Ani wasn't removed, that produce is not Tevel. And therefore, Maaser Ani is not included in the pasuk of Nesina that teaches us the halacha of Tovus Hanah. The Rashba has a different way of explaining the Mara. He says, since if Maaser Ani wasn't removed, that produce is not Tevel, so then it's like other Matnas Aniyim. The halacha is, if Lech Shechu Peya weren't removed, so it doesn't make the produce in the field Tevel. And therefore, he holds, says Rabbi Elazar, that it's no Tovus Hanah, it's a Lech Shechapeya, and the Chamim disagree. So now, explains the Ran. Rabbi Elazar, who says the Maaser Ani, the non-removal of Maaser Ani, doesn't make Tevel, he says that anybody could eat from it. Since anybody could eat from it, it's not Tevel, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar holds, you could eat that Tevel. And Rabbi Chachamim hold that since you have all of the halachas of Trumas and Maaseris, it's considered Tevel, and since it's considered Tevel, nobody can eat from it until it's removed. Says the Gemara. That the Machloikus of Rabbi Elazar Rabbanon is not necessarily going to be the way to understand the Machloikus of the Mishnah and the Brais. Amalei Baya. The Kula Alma could be that everybody's agreeable, Sheikha Tevel. If Maaser Ani wasn't removed, this produce is Tevel. Rabbi Elazar Rabbanon b'Hakam Lefki. Rabbi Elazar Sava Lo Nechshtu Am Yisrael Amei Aretz Maaser Ani. We need not be concerned that they didn't remove Maaser Ani. Why? Because there's a way to avoid the problem Maaser Ani. How could you avoid the problem Maaser Ani? Kivan the Ilam Mafka Nechsei. Somebody would be Mafka everything he owns. So at that point, he'll be an Ani, and he'll be entitled to take Maaser Ani who will be able to take his own mice ani. So le'eslei pseida, because if he wanted to keep the mice ani for himself, he has a way of keeping that. And since he can keep it for himself, we don't have to worry that the aniyim did not give mice ani, because they have a way, they have a legitimate way of avoiding the whole mice ani. Rabbanan savri, the Rabbanan hold that is not considered a good approach, a good way of avoiding the problem of mice ani. Rabbanan savri, nichsele mafkinchi, people aren't going to be mafkin here produce. The mirsis, for their concern, maybe somebody else is going to take ownership after I'm after it. And since I need to be concerned that somebody's going to take ownership, that's why people, I mean, ours we have to be concerned that they didn't take af Maisra Ani. And since we didn't take off Maisra Ani, that's why, just like the Mai applies to Truma Maisras, so too does Maisra Ani apply to the Mai as well. So now that Abaya pushed away the teretz of Rabbi Yosef, and he says that we don't have to explain the Mishnah and Braisa representing Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, we're back to where we started. That from our Mishnah, it seems that this woman who can't have benefit from anybody can have Lekach Shechopeya and not Maisra Ani, and the Braisa seems to say that she can have Maisra Ani as well. So we just learned that Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan, do we need to be concerned about Amaratzim not taking Maisra Ani? So Rabbi Elazar says we don't need to be concerned, because if they don't want to give Maisra Ani, they have a legitimate way of avoiding giving Maisra Ani by being mafkerit. Rabbanan say that's not considered a good option, because if they're going to be mafkerit, we need to be concerned that somebody else is going to pick up what they were mafker. So the Tveris Tzion explains that what is the basis of this machlokes. It's really connected to machlokes that we discussed earlier in our Masechta on Daf Mem Hei Amar Aleph. When you declare something hefker, what do you need to have? How many people have to be there for it to be considered hefker? Reb Shimon ben Yitzadik says that you have to have 3 people. Reb Shuba Levi says that Medaraisa certainly, even one person alone is enough for the hefker to be considered a valid hefker. So now we have a very geschmack way of explaining the machlokes. Since Rabbi Elazar says, since only one person is necessary to be mafker, so the concern that the Rabbanan said that maybe I'll be mafkerit and somebody will take it, you don't have to be worried about that when there's only one person there when I'm being mafkerit. Whereas the Rabbanan are of the opinion you need to have 3 people. Since you have to have 3 people, the concern is that maybe they'll hear it, and by hearing it, they'll be take over my field, and that, of course, I don't want to happen. So now we have Rabbi Elazar, at least, says, and conceptually the Rabbanan aren't disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar. They're arguing from a practical perspective. The loch is that one can make himself an oni by being mafker all of his assets. And once he makes himself into an oni by being mafker all of his assets, then he could take the Maaser oni from himself. So Rabbi Akiva asks that the Gemara Masechta Gittin, that Fiyud Beis Oman Aleph teaches us that Lecha Shechu Peya cannot be taken by the owner of the field. So asks Rabbi Akiva Eger, if Rabbi Elazar is correct, and you could be mafker your property, and if you're mafka your property, you're entitled to Maaser Ani, so why can't you be entitled to the Lekha Shechapeh as well? Says the Marit, when we speak about a person taking his own Maaser Ani, it has to be that he was poor at the time that he designated the Maaser Ani. What would be the halacha, says the Marit, if somebody was wealthy and he separates Maaser Ani and then he loses his money? The halacha is that he's still entitled to keep the Maaser Ani, because now he's a new person. He uses a concept, says the Marit, Panim Chadoshes Barul Kan. And therefore, even though he was wealthy when he designated the Maaser Ani, since now, unfortunately, he's poor, he halachically, he's not considered the same individual, and therefore he's entitled to Maiser Ani. Whereas, by Lecha Shicha Peya, that would not be the halacha. And that's what the Gemara means to this. That's why in our Gemara, says the Marit, being mafkur is an option, and by Lecha Shicha Peya, it's not an option. The Tres Yisrael says a different pshat. He quotes a Yerushalmi that the Torah only disallows taking Lecha Shicha Peya, one should take Lecha Shicha Peya for himself if it was grown on his own property. But let's say a poor person buys produce from someone else. And the produce that he bought was produce from which the Trumas and Maisers, it's Tevel, from which the Trumas and Maisers were not removed. And then he takes off the Trumas and Maisers himself. The halacha is, since he's poor, he would be able to keep that Maiser Ani. So now we have a very geshmak of pshat, says the Tres Yisrael. When it comes to Lecha Shicha Peya, since it grew on his property, the Gemara Masech the Gittin says, you're not entitled, even though you're poor, to that Lecha Shicha Peya. But Maiser Ani, you could have Maiser Ani that did not necessarily grow on your property. You bought the Maiser Ani from someone else. Since you bought the Maiser Ani from someone else, you could keep it. So now we still have a question in our Gemara. Our Gemara, as we mentioned a few moments ago, spoke about the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. How are we going to answer it? Answers the Gemara of Omar, Kan, that the Mishnah that doesn't let this woman have the Maiser Ani, is speaking about Maiser Ani and Mischalik B'toy Chabayis, that's given out in somebody's house. And regarding such Maiser Ani, there the halacha is the Ksiv Bein Nesina. The Torah says, "V'nasata l'levi l'ger l'yosam l'mana." And since the Torah uses the word Nesina, that means that there's Toivus Hanor. Since there's a Toivus Hanor, that means that it's his. And therefore, if I may not have benefit from that person is entitled to Toivus Hanor, as we spoke about a few moments ago. That's why I can't benefit from it. The Brice, however, is referring to a situation, in the warehouse. There, the Torah uses different wording. And since the Torah uses different wording, there the Torah uses the wording, v'hinachto b'sharecho. So there, it doesn't belong to anyone. And since it doesn't belong to anyone, sharele l'snuye, the halacha will be that I could have, it's not considered under anybody's ownership. Since it's not considered under anyone's ownership, so I'm not benefiting from anybody. So even though I made a neder that I'm not going to benefit from that person, it's not considered a violation of that neder because it's not considered anybody's property. And as the Rishonim and the Ran, other Rishonim explain that during the winter, they used to distribute the Maiser Ani from people's home. And whatever was left over was put in the warehouses. The other Rishonim, they learn just the opposite. But the point being that sometimes Maiser Ani is considered the property of the person who's giving the Maiser Ani, and sometimes it's not. Our Gemara just spoke about the Mai. So the question is, when one is in Eretz Yisrael, why, if somebody buys produce, does he not have to be concerned, as we just discussed so extensively in our shiur, about the Mai? So the simple pshat is that we can rely, and I sort of Chaim Kanievsky in a Sefer Derech Emuna discusses this, says we rely on the Hechsher. Even if the farmer from whom the Demai is being, from whom the produce is being bought, is unfortunately in ours, and we have to be concerned that he didn't take off the Trumas and Maisers properly, we still have room to be lenient, and the reason we have room to be lenient is because we're relying on the Hechsher. The question is, what happens if somebody is eating in someone else's home, and that person relies on Hechsherim that I don't rely on? So the question is that I come to this person's home, I know that that person relies on Hechsherim that I don't rely on, which should revert, that this produce should have the din of the mai. But the owner tells me that because I know that you don't rely on the hechsher that I rely on, I took off trumas and maaseris myself. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that since the person himself made that statement, and he didn't have to make that statement, and he certainly didn't have to take off trumas and maaseris, the halacha is that you could trust him. And so too is the opinion of Rabbi Yashiv, says certainly this whole point of not relying on the hechsher is really a chumrah, because if the hechsher says they took off trumas and maaseris, they ought to have nemanus, coupled with the fact that this person is saying that I took off trumas and maaseris, there's good reason to believe him. However, Rabbi Yashiv says, since we know that not all hechsherim can be relied on, and furthermore, says Rabbi Yashiv, since we actually know that even people who say that they took off trumas and maaseris, we can't always trust them as well. The person, I'm just using the words of Rabbi Yashiv, who Hayare Ledvara V'Chare Ledvara Hashem, comes to such a place, should take off, Rabbi Yashiv suggests, should take off his own trumas and maaseris and not rely on anything. So now we've been speaking about Maaser Ani. And when we speak about Maaser Ani, we could also speak about Maaser that people give Bizman Hazeh. It's most appropriate that one should give Maaser of everything that he earns with all the halachas of Maaser Ksofim Bizman Hazeh. So I saw Rev Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita discusses a shaila if somebody has a relative who's poor and is in dire need of money, can I give him all of my maaser? So he quotes a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Matanas Aniyim, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Aleph, says, "Hay loy maaser begorin." Somebody has maaser. Writes a litna l'ani kroiv, and he wants to give all of his maaseris, maaser ani, to his relative. Yesh loy l'hafresh mechza litin loy. He should give 50% to that relative. V'chetzi mechalke l'chol ani shiyaver. And the other half he could give to, he should give to any ani, any other ani. And he says the basis for this halacha is actually a Mishnah in Masechta Peya, Perches Mishnah Vov. The Mishnah discusses a case where somebody matzel neitel mechza v'noisa mechza, that you there's this concept of 50%, 50-50. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky, therefore he quotes Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Amunah, that when it comes to maaser money, he should do the same. He should give, if he even if he has a relative who's very poor and needs all the money he can get, he should give 50% to that relative and 50% to other aniyim. And he says that that was the opinion of the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, says that was the opinion of his uncle, the Chazon Ish, as well. But he does add that if the relative is in very desperate shape, then you could give him the entire maisa. So now he speaks about the question that we began with. If somebody has a relative that wants to marry off his daughter, but he needs money, and if can he give all of his money to that particular Maisik Sofim to that one individual? So he quotes Achsam Seifer, and he says, Achsam Seifer, that somebody had a son-in-law who, there was a Talmud Chacham who has a son who's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he obligated himself to support, to give his son a certain amount every week. Can he give all of his money, all of his maisa money, to that son, even though nobody else will give? Says the Chasam Sofer, maiser money is different than the maiser that we're speaking about in our Gemara, truma maiser from produce. Truma maiser from produce are obligated from the Torah, and Chazal have given us very clear parameters, as we see from that Mishnah we quoted, from the Rambam that we quoted, what may or may not be done. But says the Chasam Sofer, when we speak about Maisik Sofim, the rules of Maisik Sofim are much more ambiguous. And since they're much more ambiguous, the person who chose to give Maisa money can also choose, as he designates the Maisa money, what he's going to do with that Maisa money. And if this person who designated the Maisa money, when he designated the Maisa money, was clear that he wants to use it for a specific purpose, even though that the purpose he wants to use it actually represents giving it all to a relative, and as the Chasam Sofer discusses, maybe giving it to his son. But if that was what was clearly articulated when you designated the Maisa money, says the Chasam Sofer, that would be acceptable, and you could give it all to your son or to your relative, your grandchild, and it would not be a problem.